91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
We got it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about a very important issue today. It's an issue that's been bandied about for years. It's an issue that's been discussed for many, many eons of time. It's an issue that after every major hurricane, after every major tsunami, after every major flood, after every major fire, after every major, world event, when it comes to weather, the question is, why did God do that? Why does God allow so many people to die in a flood? Why does God allow the disasters that are taking place? We're going to talk about that issue today. And in the hour's time, certainly we can't answer all the questions. We'd be glad to answer as many as possible. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917. When I say we've got Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps around the round table here in our studio, and we're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion on the issue. And that issue is, why do we see so many natural disasters taking place around the world and even right here in America? In the Midwest today, the Northeast today, on the 6 o'clock news this morning, the weather people were all uptight because several hundred thousand are without power, and because the extreme weather, the flooding, and the winds are causing power outages and trees to crash into homes, etc., etc., etc. So we ask the question, can God control that? Is that man-made? Did God do it? Is it the Green New Deal? Is it climate change? Is it because of something that Donald Trump has done? I laugh at that because just about everything that happens, it's unnatural and not seemingly forthright by the left. They say that Trump did it. But that's where we're going today on the broadcast. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." That's a definitive declaratory statement. It didn't say maybe it's truth, it's partial truth, there's some truth, or it contains truth. It says, "Thy word is truth." It is the substance and the total of truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And I'm so delighted with that one verse, if nothing else in the entire Bible, because it points out there's no need for revision. There's no need for someone to have a modern translation or a different translation, an update. By the way, you've heard me say this before. You don't hear anybody talk about the need to revise and update and modify and bring out the modern terms in Shakespeare. And yeah, that's required in most every literature class in school, but somehow, some way, the mindset is, let's water down the Word of God. Let's modify the Word of God. Let's get a new translation that leaves most of the major dogmatic theological truths out, and somehow, some way, that's embraced. It gets back to truth. The secularist George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And we live in that era today. Ladies and gentlemen, need I say any further? You can look at theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. You can talk about political issues. You can talk about military issues. You can talk about issues of any substance you'd like to. And you stand on truth. You speak the truth. You speak with qualified knowledge of what is happening. You'll find those who want to deny, reject, or some way modify that truth. It was the former Senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, that said, headline I'm looking at, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, another headline I have in my hand reads, modern younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article starts out by saying, Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, real events, facts, actualities, the state of being in the case, in fact. And yet 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, they make the statement, they, the millennials, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, half truth is a whole lie. You can't take a full truth and modify it. You can't take truth and look at it as a diamond and each facet as a different nuance of truth. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth that we need to look at today. Ladies and gentlemen, I have in my hand a gigantic headline. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. It goes on to say American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among these institutions worst affected are government, the media, and education. And the article goes on to say that it is fashionable in academia today and has been for decades to say that truth is relative or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a declaratory statement that I think is fitting for today and for everyone under the sound of my voice. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I believe that's our responsibility as Christians, as patriots, as conservatives, is to stand on the truth. And if I can interject a thought, it comes to mind because Charlie Kirk was assassinated 1 year ago this week. And the one that's the assassin has been going through preliminary hearings and preliminary hearings. And during the course of this week, the courts were petitioned by the defense attorney for the assassin to take the death penalty off the table for his, if he's found guilty. We have all of the evidence, all of the proof, video proof, written proof, verbal proof, et cetera, that he assassinated Charlie Kirk. And the judge said, no, death penalty is not going to be taken off the table. Ladies and gentlemen, God created government. Genesis 9 is the first incident of it. And in the creation of government, God set forth capital punishment. And because for too many years, too long, we've delayed real justice in cases like that, we find that that is being promulgated, pushed, and increased in our nation because we've gotten away from the Word of God. We need to get back to the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment, about backup power and the generators. But ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time's staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how do I find it? That's a wonderful question. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Let me remind you, after just a moment of introducing our guest today around the table and a brief introduction monologue, We're going to open our telephone lines. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We've got Dr. Davis with us today and Dr. Phelps. Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps are both professors in the university, Conservative Theological University. We're delighted to have them here. And I like to have them with me, ladies and gentlemen, to buttress some of the things that I might say to keep me on track, that we might get to the point with what we wanted to say. Dr. Davis, take a few moments without introducing the subject yet, just introducing yourself and say a word to our listeners today.
Well, I do want to say thank God for being here first on today. Dr. Youngblood, always a privilege and an honor to be here with you and Dr. Phelps, amen, on Friday, amen, it seems like. Since I've been absent for a couple of weeks, amen, I've been missing out on some things.
That's right.
Amen. But I thank God because, amen, I'm always able to tune in on the broadcast, and the many others that live in the Folkestone, Georgia area tell me how they listen to this broadcast faithfully.
Amen.
And they are learning a
amen.
Whole lot of things.
Amen.
You know, since they've been listening. So thank God for all of you on today. Good morning to my bride of going on 41 years now. Amen. And everyone else that's listening, we hope and pray that you will be able to draw something from this broadcast that will maybe answer any questions that you might have about the subject.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, that words of introduction.
I'm so glad to be here today and to speak to this subject today that we're going to be discussing, because many people are perplexed about these things and why things happen. There are many people who question the events such as we've seen in the flooding, storms, and so forth, and how people are suffering as a result of that. We believe that there are perplexing problems that need to be answered, but we also believe that God has a solution. God can tell us in His Word so many wonderful truths that we need to learn. If we will just listen, then we will find that God is sufficient in all things.
Absolutely. I've got an article that's not really related to our subject today, our issue today, but I think it buttresses and kind of builds up the basic thought of trusting in God. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you've heard it. It's not been covered on the regular Marxist media news. Title of the article says, "We have always relied on God." Franklin Graham's response to a $300 million federal grant offer. Franklin Graham, chief of the worldwide Christian ministry Samaritan's Purse, just turned down an offer of $300 million. That's not $3 million. $300 million from the State Department grant program, confirming he will be relying instead on God and his group of supporters. And he goes on to talk about the federal government with $2 billion in grants. They want to spread around for others to use it. Graham said this, "While we deeply appreciate the confidence that the State Department has placed in Samaritan's Purse, after prayer and much discussion, we've withdrawn from being a recipient of these funds." Graham said, "We're going to depend on God and not on government." I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty good buttress to what we're saying today. We need to depend on God and not government. For too long, I believe citizens in America and perhaps those around the world have depended on government, what government can do to protect us from weather, from storms and hurricanes, etc., what government can do through the UN to protect us from diseases, etc., etc. For too long, we've depended on Sir Anthony, Dr. Mengele Fauci, that's murdered more people than he's helped with his approach to science. I think too long we've depended on what is offered by secular media and secular science rather than depending on God. And that's the focus, ladies and gentlemen, today, where we talk about why do we see so many disasters in America. Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed that the extreme heat around the world? Have you noticed in many areas we see and hear that torrential floods and earthquakes and tornadoes and forest fires and so many diseases? In fact, I believe Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, we could talk about for the balance of the broadcast just on the variety of diseases, and as we've become to know them as pandemics, we've been corralled, controlled, and badgered, and our rights taken away through the federal government based on the fact that government knows better than God as what is taking place. I believe we need, ladies and gentlemen, to recognize these things are not just happenstance. It's not just something that is created by man. It's not something that just happens to take place by accident when we look at it. Many are asking the question, is there an answer? Recently, I was asked the question, this was the question that I have been asked, why does God allow these disasters to take place? Listen, I believe God is speaking to us today. I believe that he's speaking loud and clearly. I believe that as time progresses, I believe that as the clock, eschatological prophetic clock winds down, we're witnessing more and more, greater and greater intervention of God's response to man's question, why are these things taking place? I believe God is answering loud and clear. I believe very loudly and very clearly he's giving us answer. Much too long, ladies and gentlemen, our world has lived and acted as if God is dead, that God doesn't exist, that somehow, some way, man can control. Did you realize that man, for the past 50 years in general, the past 20, 25 years in particular, we've been what's called seeding the clouds to try to force it to rain. And I believe some of what we're seeing today is the end result of the manipulation of the clouds by human ravaging science minds that think somehow, some way they can control the weather pattern. And I've said too many times, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse, says we're going to have seasons, winter and summer, spring and fall, in a general cycle until the end of time. Now, if God said it, that settles it. I don't have to wonder what's happening. If that's true, and it is because God said it, I don't have to wonder if it is something that man is doing, if it's something that God is doing. We had the horrific floods in Texas just a couple of years ago where an entire Christian youth camp was wiped out. Dozens of people lost their lives. Mega millions of dollars in property was destroyed and lost as a result of it. They said that that was a 100-year flood that happens about every 100 years. Well, it's happening again in Texas, and it hadn't been 100 years. So is something wrong, awry with the thoughts and so forth that man has? Just a few days ago, ladies and gentlemen, there was that horrific event in Nepal, right on the border of China, and right between humongous, huge mountains, a deep, deep, deep valley, thousands and thousands of feet deep in the valley where thousands of people resided. And when we're told by scientists, and I have not been able to verify or disavow that statement, that huge, huge glacier on the side of the mountain, shielded off the mountain, rushed down the hillside. As it did, it warmed and became water. As it became water, it became rushing in the valleys below. And as a result of that, we find that over 1,000 known dead and some 4,000 plus still missing, with I believe as many as 90 Americans that are still missing as a result of that. And as a result of that, multitudes are saying, what caused that? Is God in control? Did God do it? Is God asleep? Can God control this whole world? In fact, the mindset is, by some, that God created the world, flung it into existence, and he's now seated on the colonnade front porch called heaven with his long beard and his cane in his hands, leaning over the balcony of time and saying, my, I wish I could control that old world that's out of control. That's not the God that created us. That's not the God that created the world. That's not the God that's in control today. God is sovereign, and he is sovereignly in control. So that's what we're wanting to discuss today and look at and talk about. We've witnessed as never before the flooding, just like in the Grand Canyon. So the question is, and we can get into much, much, much more depth and broaden the discussion, but we're going to narrow it down to what we see with what would be called natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, diseases, etc., etc. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask the question, what does the Bible say? Who's in control? What's causing it? What is the answer? And how should we then live? Dr. Phelps, let's start with you and ask the question, what would be one of, I think there's about four or five serious major causes for this, or answers, if you please. Talk about any one of those as you see it, and let's analyze it, dissect it, and invite our listeners to call in and respond to it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, start us off.
Well, we're so thankful that we have the scriptures to tell us of God's great power and control in all things. God is able to do things that seemingly are impossible. We are in a time now, we believe, when God is manifesting his control in the face of much unbelief and rebellion on the part of mankind. And so we would believe today that God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to show the leaders of this world and those who mock the idea of a sovereign God that he can do great things. And it may be, may well be, that God wants them to be looking up and not looking to themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good start and a very good point. It's not a matter of looking to the weatherman. It's not a matter of looking at what would be called science. It's not a matter of wondering what government can do. It's a matter of what God is doing. That's the bottom line. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, I have to say, Dr. Youngblood, if I just go by memory, when I've studied through the pages of Scripture, I have to believe that all of these storms and everything else, if I can say it, the way that nature seems to go on a rampage, actually happened when man sinned in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'm saying sin is the root cause.
That's it.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And I say this, once again, based on Scripture, because when we look at when God gave Adam the job, men should have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that.
You got it. That's right.
Amen. To go out and to till the garden and to take care of it, the Bible tells us that God calls a mist to come up from the earth and to water the face of the ground. If I fast forward to when Noah was building the ark, they called him a fool because they had never seen rain on the face of the earth before.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, sin is the root cause of why things happened in nature. It went on a rampage because of that. So for that reason, I have to believe that God always wanted man to choose him because he is still yet the answer today. Jesus is the answer for us today. Each and every time things happen, God, he's not trying to speak. He's speaking. Not listening.
That's it. That's the key to it.
But the problem is, once again, if we turn to God and obey him, then I'm not saying that the weather won't cease. We will never have bad weather again on the face of the earth, mm-hmm, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gave the answer also when he said that seed time, harvest time, winter, summer, spring, it would never cease to be as long as the earth stood.
That's right.
God is a man of his word, and it's going to continue because, once again, all of this proves everything about his sovereignty over everything he has made.
Absolutely. And it begins, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating. Genesis, the book of beginnings.
Amen.
The very first evidence of God using weather or natural disaster, as we call it, to judge sin. Genesis, the 6th chapter, mm-hmm, beginning with about verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Left page, left column, third verse down in my Bible. Dealing with sin, God's word says that the heart, the life, the thoughts of man was on sin, was on evil continuously.
Continuously, amen.
And it repented God that he had created man. And God sent the flood, the universal flood, the Genesis flood, and wiped man off the face of the earth, with the exception of Noah and his family. 8 went into the ark and came out alive. Dr. Phelps?
Several years ago, I think I was about the age of 20.
Mm-hmm.
I had not learned very much about the scriptures, had not read the Bible through, things like that. But a man asked me, or rather posed a question. He says, I cannot understand, cannot believe in a God who would allow tragedy and floods, sorrow, death, wars, and so forth. And then he stopped, and I answered. The answer I gave was, God is not to blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's sin
that
was to blame. Sin brought about disaster for mankind. Sin brought about problems, troubles, because we're out of fellowship with God. We need a change in man. And I believe that would be something of the same answer I give today.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I'm looking at Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with about verse 5. For many shall come in my name. These are the signs that God's word gives us, pointing to the last days. And now what we see taking place with what is called the natural disasters, I believe, are part and parcel, if not in toto, what is found in the signs that's given in Matthew 24, Luke chapter 21, and Mark chapter 13, what I call the eschatological prophetic text in the Bible. And in Matthew 24, verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must, hear that word, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, that means diseases, mm-hmm. and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then you shall be delivered up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then it goes on to talk about in verse 11 and 12, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity, twisted, perverted lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Dr. Davis, I believe that is part and parcel of what we're seeing today. If I were to be asked, why does God allow all of these natural disasters, I would say, first of all, to judge sin. And you find that very clearly in Genesis, the 6th chapter. You find that very clearly in Numbers chapter 16, where Korah and his group of rebellious people wanted to rebel against God's chosen leader. As a result of that, God sent a earthquake. The earth opened. Numbers 16 is a fantastic text, the entire chapter. God sent an earthquake, and it opened up. And Korah and the rebellious group against God's choice for a leader, the earth opened and took them in, and it says, and the earth closed up with them being in it alive, and took the people, their families, and all of their belongings, their homes and houses, etc., etc., etc. That's a good indication of God's earthquake, i.e., God's natural disaster to judge sin.
Well, once again, Dr. Youngblood, I'm glad you said that, and that really struck a point that was going around in my head. Because not only was he judging sin, he was judging men for the choices that they made.
That's right, absolutely.
Now listen, we always want to blame God, but what about your choices?
Mm-hmm.
Have you chosen to follow him, to obey him, to trust in his word?
Amen.
If you've done just the opposite, look out, because judgment is coming.
Absolutely. So what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen, as we ask the question, why do we see so many natural disasters? I believe it's because, number one, God is judging sin. And I believe as we see it from the American viewpoint, we're seeing God's progressive judgment on our nation as a result of the sin of blasphemy, the sin of rebellion, the sin of rejecting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have banned God, we've banned the Bible, we've banned prayer, we've banned the cross, we've banned everything that we call spiritual in our nation, and as a result of that, I believe God is progressively judging our nation, and he is also simultaneously judging the world. You see what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, in places like Nepal. You see what's happening even in America and the Grand Canyon, where a great flood came all of a sudden and it wiped out, killed one person, wiped out many, 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 many properties of people in the basin of the Grand Canyon. It's not just something that is just happened by accident. God is on the throne. God is in control. When it comes to the weather, the Bible says that God is going to continue to control the weather even in the last days. During the days of the tribulation, God will be using weather to control and to direct the hearts and the lives of men. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll come right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be back to continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY.